Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research. The Sunday Roast presents 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the 12 stocks for the 12 days of Christmas. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of African Pioneer. Merry Christmas, Colin.
Same to you. Thank you very much indeed.
Absolutely. So let's take a look at the progress in 2023 and further since coming to market. We feel African Pioneer and its potential is oft misunderstood. Quick operational review. I mean, the company completed an IPO on the standard list of the LSE and acquired projects in Namibia, Zambia and Botswana in 2021. Was granted an option to First Quantum for 4 of the 5 Zambian exploration licenses held by African Pioneer Zambia. Main focus was on evaluating and advancing its 85% owned Namibian projects, including the Ongombo mining license application and other projects in Zambia and Botswana. In Namibia, the successful completion of the environmental clearance certificate for the Ongombo copper gold project, updated mineral resource estimate increased the global resource tonnage. Ongombo mining license granted subject to completion of environmental and social impact assessment and successful drill program and new mineral resulted in additional copper and gold with an ongoing environmental and social impact assessment and development plan. So just talk us, Colin, through the Namibia and the various things we've just mentioned there and alluded to and how you feel progress has been in 2023, please.
Well, progress couldn't have been better, really, when you look at it. In a pretty flat world where nobody's been able to drill, we've been drilling. In a flat world where companies have been unable to assess their drilling results or pay for their assays even, we've been assaying and modelling. And, you know, if we want to start with Ongombo, close to Windhoek, we started off with about 10 million tonnes, supposed to be an high-grade operation with the dominance in what they called the central chute. And we've had drilling and modelling programs, ended up with a totally different result. We're now on to 29 million tonnes, and I think I've said in previous interviews we're targeting 50 million tonnes, and a contained copper. We're hoping to get up to about 500,000 tonnes of contained copper. What's changed the thinking, of course, is the fact that Goldfields were there, JCI, and in the old days, if you talk about 0.4 gold with copper, who cares when we're mining mines down in South Africa? At 15 grams, 12 grams big mines, going to last them forever. And of course, the world changed, didn't it, against deep mining. And there was a period of very low gold cost. So we went in there and, of course, started drilling in the central section. Of course, it's convenient, twinning holes, and got the very nice surprise of, in actual fact, 0.2, 0.3, 0.4 gold was accompanying 1.2, 1.3 copper. Now, as I say, it didn't matter much in the old days, but if we look at today, when gold is around about $65-$70 a gram, and you've got half a gram or just under half a gram, you're looking at $28 to $35 contribution. That will pay for your contracting costs for your open pit and quite a bit more. So the combined 1.5%, if you like, is a very, very useful situation to be in. And we, as I say, we've enhanced the value of the project significantly. But I talked about the central zone dominating matters. It doesn't. The eastern zone complicates matters. The value of the project, because there's been no gold tests there, so we've not even been allowed to report them in those Addison reports that you've referred to on this program. And then there's been that bland assumption that between the east and the central is negative. Well, in actual fact, it's not. We managed to dig out old boreholes where it's, and actually, in fact, the reason it's negative is because it's not properly drilled or not drilled at all in places. So in their wisdom, the old people who preceded us decided not to include them in the resource. So when I talk to you about 50 million tonnes to around about 1.4%, and that's where we're going. And then there was other silly little assumptions that, you know, on mining width. 1.4 metres as a cutoff or 1.5 metres is a very sensible mining width. You get these low profile equipment and you can rattle a lot of ground out. So we've got a nice plan for about a 7,000 or 8,000 ton a year copper mine. We've got good support for it. and which is waiting for the final bits of the environmental study. But so, you know, in essence, it boil it down to take something from 10 to 30 and on the way to 50 in the new year, that's quite an equivalent. That's quite an achievement. And then, of course, to add to the equivalent copper and the gold values. And, you know, again, when the old timers did the studies, you didn't get, you know, gold and copper in the same concentrate. Was just not good news. Now, a lot of off-takers just love the gold. They basically take the first gram away and pay you 94% of the remainder. So payability is quite good too. So let's put a ring around that. It's a very happy situation that we're going into. The jewel in our crown, without any doubt, I think, is the joint venture in the Northwest. We combined with First Quantum, with our grouping in Zambia, friends, colleagues, and partners in Zambia. And we could have gone it alone, but we knew we wanted to actually prove something big. So we decided between us to bring in a partner. And we bought him First Quantum. The reason for that is, you know, I discovered the Kalambila mine. I actually started First Quantum, raised them the first money, identified the company. And the reason it's got a name of First Quantum is because I've identified a shell called First Quantum. So over the years, any trust I've had in hasn't gone down, it's gone up. Tremendous group. And so I think our partner's decision was the same. It wasn't difficult to sort of joint venture with them. And they got right into it and tested out a theory that the entire style of mineralization you get in the Congo, just north, could in actual fact spread down to the copper belt to Zambia. And of course, why shouldn't it? Because, you know, as I said again, laughingly, is that, you know, when God put the copper in the ground 400 or 500 million years ago, those fences between the no such thing as Zambia and the Congo. So nobody's tested it. And why hasn't anybody tested it? Because, as you know, I mean, you've got mines what started 100 years ago, 50 years of mine life left. That doesn't make owners and properties go, owners and public companies go looking for tested new concepts when you've got such big mines. And so a lot of mineralization styles exist in Zambia, which in my opinion have not yet been tested. But this one was the prime objective, the absolute prime objective. And would you believe in the space of 6 months, beyond any reasonable doubt, I'm talking about 23 now, Zambia was able to declare, I mean, it's unusual your joint venture partner declares in an RNS at the same side of you that this is undoubtedly Kolwezi, Kamoa, and this massive Western foreland, which is an attraction to everybody at the moment. Wasn't just a theory, it was an actual reality. Okay. Why didn't they find an ore body with a first hit? Well, because quite frankly, these are little grabens within massive systems, and they've got they're sort of developing the architecture to give them best chance when drilling. And they've no doubt in their minds, and I've no doubt in my mind, the first hole might be the 10th, but we will actually identify a Kamoa style mine. And a Kamoa is spewing out money to around about $400 million a month, and not yet up to full capacity. So it's the second richest in the world. So we're very happy with that. I mean, who wouldn't be? And then, of course, we've got the Sandfire joint venture in Botswana, where we've got some test work of our own. And I don't think Sandfire is probably too remote from the T3 operation. And so we'll probably be going alone with our structures, chemistry, which looks good, and doing some test work down there with a view, again, talk about a small ramp operated mine. You know, we're talking about ore bodies 10 meters thick, running at about 2.2% with 15 grams of silver. They're nice little operations for us, but it's not the sort, it wouldn't stand trucking, I don't think, to Sandfire's T3, and it wouldn't be the sort of mine that Sandfire would want on a standalone basis. So that's drawing a big circle around it. We are delighted. Couldn't have made more progress. As I say, we've got the drilling machine out when others aren't. We've got a very strong partner. No secrets. We get the quarterly reports as fast as government gets the quarterly reports. Free access to site. Communications on drill holes as they go along. Most unusual. Most unusual in our game. You have to beg to get the result, the drill results, if you're working with a major. So there in a nutshell is what's happened. And of course, it forms the foundation for a very, very positive 2024.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the one that shocked me was there was an RNS that came in, I think it was like late October, and the market has largely missed it. Well, it has missed it clearly, because First Quantum exercised their option over the two key exploration licenses, which initiated the first earning period. And as you just rightly said, they successfully identified this crucial structure architecture, which resembled the Kamoa Kakula deposit. And I think there was an extension granted, wasn't there, until like January the 17th of next year.
Yeah, that's the other thing, yeah.
to assess the prospectivity of the other two licenses. So just give us your feelings on the fact that they've taken that, they've exercised their option over those two key exploration licenses and what that really means for African Pioneer.
Well, what that means quite simplistically is a major mining company has taken an option period, like what they see, know that they've got significant expenditure to follow through and are prepared to follow through. So that's a vote of confidence and a big tick. I don't want to talk First Quantum's business and punch up our own business against others. But I've no doubt in my mind, and it's freely communicated, and you've only got to look at how things are being done, is that we are their key project in Zambia.
So, Colin, there's a lot going on, and you're in a situation with African Pioneer now, with an asset that effectively the market says is worth £4.5 million, and you have all of that you've just discussed. So how's the market actually going to realize what you've actually got here? Because, I mean, obviously there's drilling going on. There will be drilling going on.
I'm
looking forward to the first quarter here and what's going to be announced. So give us a blue sky. I mean, basically, African Pioneer was one of our picks last year. We fully expected it that it would perform better than it has, which is basically hasn't moved. And yet, here we are, so much further on than we were 12 months ago. So give us an idea of the things that are going to happen during 2024 that's going to be within African Pioneer.
Well, I think I've said this before, that I would be a worried man if you're running a company which has been outperformed by the rest of the market. But as you well know, the market's gone down between 60 and 90% for all companies. So a re-rating of African Pioneer together with a re-rating of AIM and the LSE companies is going to be a significant event. I don't think copper price in entirety will do it, because there's been smells of proper price increases, copper price increases, but they've not gone through into the market. I think, I was thinking the other night and watching Bloomberg, that things are changing. You're seeing more and more acquisitions. You're seeing more and more companies being bought by the big boys. And to me, it's the start of that cycle. I've also said to you, I think, that the market needs a discovery, be it Australia. I don't care whether the discovery is in Australia, Canada, or the UK. There has to be real discovery to make the venture capital market in mining more positive towards our industry. It's been recognized, I think, that we're long left at the bottom of the market. We're long left, languishing, difficult to raise money, and difficult to raise your share price and your market capitalization. I think it's changing. I think the wind is changing. I'm absolutely sure. So that re-rating will actually go through to all stocks, and then we'll be back to where we were and well beyond. The companies have been bought recently, very cheaply. So the majors aren't there now looking for stealing, bargains. They're being wrapped up by the day, and there aren't too many bargains. And company chairmen and chief executives are realizing that, we're going good earnings. And analysts are going to be saying at Goldman Sachs and places like that, we looked at the back of your annual report, it looks a bit thin on inventory. So what's facing this copper world, and that's why we're in copper, myself and partners, is that, the copper fundamentals could never be better. They were good a year ago, but the supply side, everything I see about the supply side, Kevin, is bad news. Projects being closed down. You've seen, the First Quantum one closed down. Chile, three projects taken off the drawing board because the president doesn't want mining. So in actual fact, the supply side is really threatened. And I think it's going to come through. We copper companies who have got projects which are well advanced have become the call option to copper. And as I say, the first big acquisition, I think, will break the market, the deadlock. So African Pioneer, I think, is probably one of the best in our stable, although we're looking pretty strong all around, is probably very ready for an absolute re-rating during 2024. Not only for its own fundamentals, but for driven by a market re-rating, which I firmly believe will happen.
Yeah, I mean, many people are talking. I mean, we were talking 12 months ago that copper would go on a run. And it sort of did, and then whimpered out at the start of 2023. It has gone down to as low as 3.5, which I think was about 7,500 per ton, and has come back now to, I think, close to £4 or $4 a pound. So now we're talking about $8,500 a ton. So if copper goes on this predicted run, which could be, Some people are talking 10, some people are talking 12, some people are talking $15,000 a ton, because effectively it just isn't enough of this stuff.
So yeah, Colin, we're also joined by some special guests, Tolai Sikumba and Tony Lakondi, part owners of the African Pioneers Assets in Zambia. Can we just introduce ourselves and exactly the role you have, please, Tolai?
Hi, Phil. Thank you. My name is Tolai Sikumba, and I am a partner with African Pioneer. My role is legal and compliance. I'm a lawyer by profession, and I partnered with Tony Lukonde, who's my Zambian partner on African Pioneer. We picked up the licenses, obviously following the trends and trying to prove the theory that we have a potential in the Northwest to find yet another big discovery. My role in the group is putting all the paperwork together and ensuring that all the great ideas we have are actually legally viable. So compliance and contracts and all the agreements fall on my table. And that's my role in the group, making sure that as we progress and putting the money on the ground, we are legally sound, compliant, and all of the deals are standing upright and making sure that we're in a better place. I'll now just pass over to Tony, my partner, so he could introduce himself and his role in the group.
Right, good afternoon. My name is Tony Olukonde Mukungu. I'm a project generator. I've been doing this for quite some years now. My major role is to look for strategic projects that sit within what the group or our partners would take as ground that would give us the next discovery. So our chase is looking at potential ground within the Lufulien Arc, of course, and what is today called probably the Kamoa style or Kolwezi style mineralization. So we target or we focus most on the northwestern province or part of Zambia, and that's where we feel and assure that the next discovery will be, the next biggest discovery will be. Of course, we have a push by our Zambian president to take Zambia to 3 million ton production annually. And we as African Pioneer or the group are under extreme pressure to make sure that we are part of this or to add on to take Zambia to reach to the 3 million. Thank you.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've obviously seen news of late where there has been more investment into Zambia. We saw Abu Dhabi's IRH investing $1.1 billion into, I believe, what was the state-run, originally the mine, the Mopani copper mine, for return for 51% of that asset. But just how excited are you for Zambia and you know, the mining potential going forward from now? Because there has been an underinvestment, and it does need to be a big increase in the amount of annual production of copper in Zambia. Just tell us how excited you are for the assets you have and also for the country as a whole.
Well, this acquisition is very exciting for us for two particular reasons. For starters, Mopani coming back to life is very good for us because we do have a neighboring license in the area and Galileo, which we have done extensive work with Mr. Bird, and that mine is very soon coming into production. So with Mopani being fired up and being back online, that automatically tells us that we've got already immediate activity going on the copper belt, because Mopani was a very big mine that both for direct and indirect jobs. So with this coming back in, that's very exciting for us to, one, get our economy back running. We've had a very slow 2023-2024 production season. And with Mopani coming back online, that's very exciting. And for the neighboring mines, that's equally very good, because we then have a production system where smaller units can take their ore for processing and therefore adding value addition to the systems that are around already on the copper belt. For other projects, that also brings up the value of the real estate. If you've got a running mine in your neighborhood, it is a very good prospectus for bringing in further investment, because it boosts the confidence and it raises the flag for Zambia as well. So we're very excited to have these new investments for 2024. It also gives us a push in the right direction to get Zambia to where it needs to be for the 3 million tons.
So Tony, tell us a little bit about what makes you think that the licenses that African Pioneer and yourself have got are going to come up trumps for investors.
Well, African Pioneer license, the main thing, reason probably that took us to that ground is the geology. First, we fall in the right rocks, of course. We fall in the right address. And we believe that the extension, like Colin explained earlier, of course, the border between Zambia and the DRC was just a man-made border. So we believe that mineralization goes all the way down to our Zambia northwestern, and we're sitting right in the right rocks. And we've identified that, yes, we're in Kamoa and Kolwezi style. and definitely we'll have to hit, and definitely we'll have to get into some group mineralization and possibly very soon have a discovery.
And when you say you're very excited, what sort of magnitude of discovery do you think is possible on these licenses? What size are the licenses for a start? And secondly, you know, what magnitude of copper is possible in these situations?
This, I think, for us probably runs between half a billion to a billion ton type of deposit. Yeah.
You're talking about the rock amount or the copper in situ?
That would be the rock.
Okay, and what sort of percentages of these things run at?
This is probably between 1.5 going all the way to 4%.
Okay, so in terms of contained copper, how many tons are we thinking is possible if these things come to fruition?
It's about 5 million plus metal.
Which is huge.
Yes, definitely, it's a plus, definitely, which is huge. Yes, and this is what the country, the region needs. And this is probably the next big discovery we need after the last small discoveries that have been made in Zambia. So Zambia needs this huge discovery, and that's what we're chasing for. And that's what the country is actually looking for, to get us to those numbers,
If you get 3 to 5 million tons of contained copper in this, which luxury island are you going to buy?
The Barbados.
Well made up.
Yeah. Very good. So the licenses that Galileo hold then, are they in this same area or are they a different section?
Yeah, so it's slightly different. We're back on Galileo holds an interest in license on the Cobra Belt style, right, next to Mufulira Mopani.
Okay, and the prospectivity of those licenses is what? Has there been any drilling done on those licenses, or are they greenfield sites that we don't know, or what is the situation?
Yes, this has been drilled already. In 2022, we did a lot of drilling to test what the drilling was done historical. So we've got historical holes that were drill cores were kept very well by the Zambian system that keeps scores. So we looked through that and we generated a new drill pattern. We drilled that, twin drilled some holes, and we confirmed that resource. So, I mean, that's sitting in two folds. We've got the near surface mineralization that we've tested thoroughly, which is good for mining now. We're just trying to start design for the pit and underway. So we have a deeper mineralization that we need to test again, probably in next 2024, 2025 plan. But this is sitting pretty well, sitting right next door to the new acquisition, the Mopani acquisition by the new group.
So it would be in a situation where if you did find ore, maybe the capex on that would not require you to have the ability to actually get the copper out the rock. Is that fair to say?
Definitely, yes. So with Mopani online, then obviously a capex drop. We don't need to build everything. We'll just have to mine that and toll it to Mopani circuit. So it's good for Mopani. It's good for everybody. It's good for the country. So we basically, from that operation, we add in tonnage.
And tell people, just so that they can understand, how much copper is actually in Zambia, sorry?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. How much copper is in Zambia? I think personally, like Colin put it, these discoveries in the country were done in 1926, and there's nothing else much new after that. So how much copper is in the ground? I believe there's so much copper in the ground, and there's very little work that have been done after 1926 to date. So everybody, like, we all should put our boots on, go back to the ground and make these new discoveries. Zambia has got so much copper for the next 200-300 years.
Yeah, and I mean, even just with the copper that's coming, when we visited Zambia last year, we saw that with the roads and the amount of copper that was even just being delivered to certain places. It was quite amazing to see, to be honest. I don't think there's any doubt that the Zambia is a place that can fulfill the need that is there for copper in a large way. And I suppose from a Zambian point of view, being pretty much a country that is very indebted at the minute in terms of its finances, it needs this copper to really help itself.
Definitely. Yes, indeed. I absolutely agree with you.
And how helpful do you think the government is going to be to get these things working?
Just to answer your question, in the recent past, I guess throughout 2023, the Zambian government has been doing quite a number of steps on the ground to try and make sure, and as we are the next mining destination, we should be one that can make sure that we are able to keep our investment. So government through the Ministry of Mines has been making several step changes to policy that are investor friendly, not only for the international market, but also for the local partners who wish to put in their money into the mining space. And in addition to that, with our indebtedness, which is true, we've unfortunately found ourselves at a space where we have quite a huge debt line to deal with. With mines coming back online, considering that the country is heavily dependent on mining and copper as our exchange, as our foreign exchange mechanism, we are hopeful with this 2024 African Pioneer going live and getting a few more discoveries out of our other tenements that have got active exploration going. That gives a very good report for the international market and also improves the confidence of the investor, knowing that there is a market that we could explore and expand on. And for the rest, the global market coming in, small and medium-sized investors can have a footing in Zambia and then get in the ground and get some exploration going and also mining. So far, the government is very keen and determined into making sure that whatever mechanisms and whatever opportunities are available, both on the private and public side of investment, are put onto the table and the mining space made very friendly and easy for anybody to come in and bring in operations.
Good. And what about the licensing side of things then? Do we have a system that has improved recently? Or, obviously quite a few of these things, from an investor perspective, they are worried that we could be hanging here for a mining license for X number of years. We could be here forever. Is this going to happen? So, I mean, has the government put in anything that is going to investor in that situation?
Well, with licensing, once you have completed your standard approvals and you've gotten your clearances from ZEMA, your environmental impact assessments, and you have put in your applications and paid your statutory fees, for example, with a mining license, it's got a life of 25 years. Once you do have your 25 years granted to your license, the government makes sure that there's all mechanisms in place to protect your interest. Now, it's really up to the player to make good of your 25 years and invest in it. But the government, for sure, has been very proactive in making sure that licensing is very transparent, very upfront, and as quick as possible. Of course, we do have our shortfalls every now and again, but the Zambian government is very intent in making sure, as long as all the statutory requirements have been met and the applicant has done their part, the government is always there to give that support. And we also have the sovereign grant that protects investments higher than $250,000 embedded in our Zambia Development Act. So for the investor, there's a lot of mechanisms in play that protect their interests. It's really now for them to show their muscle and skill.
Okay, very good. That's good. I mean, it's a win-win, obviously, for Zambia and the companies. So we're going to ask you some Christmas questions here now. So all three of you need to answer this question if you can. So okay. The Christmas question is, what is the most exotic or strange place you've ever spent Christmas Day?
I'll start with Colin.
That's what I'm thinking about.
That's what you're thinking about.
Oh, I thought you said I'll start, meaning with Colin was the weirdest place.
That was the greatest Christmas with Colin.
Yeah. I have been to some very nice places, and I make a practice of going to nice places if I can afford it and it's work allows it. And there's been a strange phenomenon in my life is that this type of the year should be wine dine. This time of the year should be a wine dine, when an expect is always a wind up. So I've had holidays cancelled. But if you ask me where I'd like to be at Christmas, my favourite would always be Mauritius, sat on the beach. I think that would be my answer, Mauritius.
Nice. I've just booked Seychelles for May to June. I've been there before, and that's one of my, it's very similar to Mauritius, but that's one of my favourite places. Tony?
My would be in Zambia, in a national park, a few national park. We've got an interest in a bush lodge. And yeah, great experience. Christmas time, I think we were trying to do a drive in and out and got super stuck. And yeah, it was so exciting. We got stuck for two nights. There was lions, there was cheetahs, there was everything was there, but the experience was thrilling.
Magical.
Sounds like they were looking for their Christmas dinner and you were it.
Oh. Of course, we've been the Sydney Rose.
Well, in addition to Tony's story, on which we were together and got stuck in the bush together because we're looking to go into our bush camp. But I think above and beyond is in Zambia at the Zambezi Gorge. So away from the Victoria Falls, if you follow through on the gorges on the rapids, if you do like whitewater rafting, it is quite something, I think. On when you get into the wilderness on that side of things, it's absolutely breathtaking. So you should try to come to Zambia and go into the gorges and see if you'd like to get some adventure going.
We'll be back there in sort of May, March, April time anyway. So we've got a visit that we're planning right now. So for sure, we'll try and get up to the north and, you know, the border as well, as you say, around Zimbabwe, Vic Falls, and down into sort of Kamativi area and then across to Zambia. So that should be very good.
It will be amazing. You should give the gorges a try. It's something that's out of this world.
So Kev's shaking his head saying no, but for me, I like my adrenaline stuff, so I'll take you up on that one. But so my question is this the sort of, you know, a time of year where we probably overindulge a little bit on the food theme, but what is your guilty pleasure? I mean, in terms of food, maybe you only eat it once a year around Christmas time, but what is your guilty pleasure starting with you, Talai?
My guilty pleasure is red velvet cake and champagne. Guilty.
Brilliant.
Guilty.
Well, I'm the old traditionalist, and you won't separate me and my turkey. So it's a very simple turkey. It's roast potatoes and a bottle of good red wine. That's me. And neither exotic. It's basically, it's
dinner.
That's my Mecca, you know, and that's my, I was going to say, and that's what my Indaba is in February. You know, you look into the Indaba in February. So everything links up.
Well, mine is a juicy African Zambian steak with some fries. Yeah.
Brilliant. Do you go dry? Do you go with a sauce on it, or do you just go with
steak? We'll go with the sauce, probably mushroom sauce.
Mushroom. Very good.
Yeah. Salad's good.
Well, listen, we really do look forward to meeting you guys in person when we come over to see the African Pioneer and Galileo assets. It all sounds very interesting. Obviously, from your point of view, you've got a lot of skin in the game as well in terms of making this happen. And let's hope that this comes to fruition in the way that you hope it will. I mean, the reality is the geology isn't going to change. So the geology is there. So really the question should be, how much copper is there? Tony answers on a postcard, how much copper is there?
How much copper is there?
How much copper is there? Wow, that's a big question. How much copper is there? I'm positive we've got so much copper, at least 10 million and above. Yeah, but that's our job to prove. That's why we're there. That's why the company is there. That's why we've got all these strategic partnerships with the likes of Quantum. And we're going to find it. We have to.
Okay. You're going to make everybody a very Merry Christmas next year if you find this copper in the next 12 months, which I think is ultimately what it's set out as. You know, we're looking at African Pioneer with First Quantum, and they're going to be drilling, and they're going to be, you know, having had disappointments themselves in other situations, they need this to work for themselves as well, I think.
That's true. It's that's how it goes. I mean, you can get a discovery in your second hole or your 60th hole. Yeah, it's that's how it goes. But we are so determined, and we have to do it.
Okay, well, we'll say Colin Bird, Tulai Sikumba, and Tony Lakonde, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Colin. Thank you for all your interviews this year. We wish you a blessed time this Christmas with your family.
That's very kind of you. Thank you much, very much, and the same to both of you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.